Insurance Uncovered, a Talanx podcast. Enter a world of background insights, hidden stories, and finance topics drawn from the insurance industry.
I'd rather focus on the combined ratio because the combined ratio gives a good idea as to the strengths of the underlying business.
The primary contribution to the Talanx is substantial. More than 40% of insurance revenue is coming from our three primary segments.
Welcome everyone listening in to our monthly Talanx podcast, Insurance Uncovered. With Insurance Uncovered, we have renamed the Talanx Investor Relations podcast and expanded its range of topics. So we are already on our 13th episode, but the first with a new name. Today, I'm going to talk with our Head of Investor Relations and M&A, Bernd Sablowski, and our Head of Group Controlling, Bas de Vries, about the Talanx second quarter results and developments during the first half of the financial year 23. We will also listen to the group's CFO, Dr. Jan Wicke, and his thoughts on the record results. However, with this new alignment on the podcast, we hope to not only address the financial community, but also all of you out there who would like a peek into capital markets and the financials of a stock-listed insurance company. My name is Rhea Schmidtler-Montaigne, and I will be your podcast host today. At Talanx, I'm working in the Retail International division and assist our financial teams with all of their work. I'm very happy to be part of this new start of Insurance Uncovered. Let's welcome Bernd and Bas, with whom I'm sitting in our film studio at Talanx headquarters in Hanover. Thank you for taking the time today and welcome to this first episode. Would you like to give a short introduction of yourself to our listeners?
Hi Rhea, thanks for the introduction. Happy to be here today. My name is Bernd Sablowski and I'm working at Talanx heading the Investors Relations Department.
Hi Rhea, it's a pleasure to be here. My name is Bas de Vries and I'm a Dutch guy living in Hanover now for more than 10 years and within Talanx for 10 years as well. I'm a controller by heart and soul and therefore lucky and happy to head the Talanx Group Controlling Department for more than 3 years now.
Thank you so much to both of you. But before we now put the spotlight on the Talanx performance, our CFO, Dr. Jan Wicke, wants to share his view on the results with our listeners.
Talanx had a very good first half year with regard to both top line and bottom line. We were able to grow our top line, the insurance revenues, by 9% to close to 21 billion euro. On top of it, we were able to grow the bottom line by 21% to 827 million euro. Which is a record half year for Talanx in its history. This results in a return on equity of 18.4%. All segments have contributed double-digit return on equities to the overall result. And to sum it up, we had a very good first half year.
Following up on Jan's statement, Bernd, what have been your highlights of the first 6 months in 23? And to which KPIs would you like to draw our listeners' attention and why?
Yes, obviously we delivered a very strong set of numbers for the first half year of 2023. And Jan mentioned that it is the best half year result ever for the Talanx Group. Then we are well on track to even outperform our full year earnings guidance. Jan mentioned a number of KPIs such as net income and the return on equity. I'd rather focus on the combined ratio because the combined ratio gives a good idea as to the strengths of the underlying business. And the combined ratio has become a bit more difficult to be interpreted these days as we move into the new world of IFRS 17. And therefore, I believe the combined ratio for our P&C business is a really important yardstick to assess the strength of our business.
Some of the KPIs mentioned might be relatively new to our listeners. This has only been the second quarter of the new accounting standards, IFRS 17. What have been the main challenges for your team, Bas?
Okay, that's an interesting question, Ea. And of course, we face many challenges and are still learning as well. But we are on track in understanding and gaining deeper understanding of the interesting IFRS 17 and IFRS 9 world. One challenge, however, is still the temptation to compare with the old IFRS 4 world, which on the one hand is of course logical because we were very familiar with IFRS 4 and we understand it very well. And on the other hand, it doesn't make sense anymore because we don't have IFRS 4 anymore. I think this will be a part of the change and transition process going forward. And one example where the temptation comes alive is, for instance, the combined ratio. As Bernd already mentioned, at first glance seems to be more difficult than on IFRS 4, but I believe it becomes even better than under IFRS 4. And for instance, we reported in the first half of 2022 a combined ratio under IFRS 17 of 95%. This decreased in the first half of 23 to 93.7%, so a substantial improvement. However, there we have to take into account that we have a more substantial discount effect in 23, as the interest rates, as we all know, are rising and rising. Now the temptation is to say, okay, please tell me what is the discounting effect and can you add it and compare it then better with IFRS 4? And of course we can, but I believe it doesn't make sense because IFRS 17 takes into account the time value of money much better now as in the old world, and therefore it makes the comparison between the various lines of business better and easier. And furthermore, we do really invest the premiums we receive now also against a higher return on investment. Therefore, a comparison with IFRS 4, a more nominal world, doesn't make sense anymore from my point of view.
And exactly that is a point I'd like to pick on, Bas, because what you just mentioned is that people tend to just deduct the discounting effect from the combined ratio, which is misleading because you need to compare what the discount effect of the previous period was, and you only can take into account the delta between the previous period and the current period. So when you say there was a 5 percentage points discount effect in the combined ratio, this effect was 2.7 in the previous period. So that means only the delta you can look at. And this year, and that's why I was referring to the combined ratio as an indicator for the real strengths, the technical strengths of our business. What we did with most of that discounting delta is we put that aside and loaded it into the reserves, which means despite us not utilizing this benefit but putting it aside, we still were able to produce a combined ratio that was lower than the previous period. And that's why I believe you really need to look carefully into what the combined ratio consists of and what is influencing the combined ratio. So all in all, on group level, a solid set of numbers, but a particular strength in the underwriting business, despite the fact that in each and any segment you have partial different performance in certain subsegments. So that's why I'm stressing the importance of the combined ratio so much.
I couldn't agree more, Bernd.
Okay, and just having talked about the combined ratio, in the Talanx Group, we have primary insurance and reinsurance business. Hannover Re has already reported on the combined ratio of their segment. Could you give us a little bit more insight on the primary insurance segment?
Of course, Ria. The primary contribution to the Talanx is substantial. More than 40% of insurance revenue is coming from our three primary segments and 44% of our net income.
And not to forget the most recent acquisition in Latin America, the primary insurance part of the business will continue to grow towards our mid or long-term target of having a balance of 50-50 reinsurance and primary insurance business. And if I look at the individual primary segment lines, what is outstanding in my view is that we managed successfully to turn around the industrial lines division, which is now printing solid combined ratios and is well on track to achieve its targets, not only for this, but also for the midterm horizon where we are in our current strategic cycle. If I look at Retail Germany, they are on operating level. They are flat despite significant headwinds. We have rising interest rates, which makes the business in life insurance a bit more difficult in terms of new business because single premium business is going down as a result of traditional banking products becoming more popular again. And we have inflation in our P&C business, and still on EBIT level, the Retail German operations continue to deliver a flat result. And Retail International is currently, I'd say, a big source of joy. We managed a sustainable turnaround in Brazil. And not to forget, we just closed the Sompo transaction in Brazil, which we announced back in 22. So there will be continuous momentum in Retail International in their Latin American operations.
So being now in the middle of the hurricane season, that brings to mind large losses situations and the losses that have already occurred this year. Could you give us an insight on the major losses this year? And also, is the amount still matching our last losses budget we have for this year?
Of course, the large losses in the first half of the year amounted to 820 million, which is lower than last year, which was hit by the Russian war in Ukraine. But compared to our budget of 970 million, we still have a buffer of 150 million left. So we are having a good first half year with respect to the large losses. The largest large loss was the Turkey earthquake we had this year. As you already mentioned, when we're looking towards the third quarter, especially known as the hurricane season quarter, so to say, we started not very well into this quarter because we already have a large amount of large losses. For instance, we have the Fremantle, we have floods in Austria and Slovenia. So a part of the buffer of 150 million will already be used for these large losses. However, due to our experience, we have the largest share of our entire large loss budget allocated to the third quarter with more than 700 million. So we are prepared for some hurricanes at least.
But just to frame that, you're basically saying the booked budget provides a comfortable additional buffer of what is yet to come in terms of the hurricane season, which is good for Talanx. Benign development of the large loss situation is characteristic for the entire industry. So everyone has been benefiting from rather moderate large loss situation. If I, however, look at our broader peer group of primary and reinsurance competitors, or peers, I should rather say, we are doing quite well even in a peer comparison.
So since we're getting close to the end of this episode, could you tell us something about the Talanx outlook, and also what are the targets of the full year of 23? And is Talanx well on track to achieving them?
Yes, we are. Our confidence to even outperform our full-year net earnings guidance, which was at 1.4 billion, has grown after such a strong set of half-year numbers. And we are pretty comfortable to be able to deliver net income above 1.4 million for the full year. And other KPIs for the current year is insurance revenue higher than 42 billion and a return on equity clearly above 10% for the group. So in essence, if I summarize our current performance, pretty solid and strong results, double-digit growth in top line and double-digit in bottom line, and above 10% ROE for the half year. We are well on track and leverage the positive market momentum in all the primary insurance lines business as well as the reinsurance business where we are active in.
Bernd, Bas, thank you so much for being here with me today. It was a pleasure to have you here, and I hope our listeners learned as much as I did. Thanks for listening in and sticking with us until the end. We hope that we have been able to give you a better understanding of the complicated and perhaps sometimes somewhat boring world of numbers of an insurance company. Going forward, we are planning to have a deep dive into the Talanx results every quarter, so we would be happy to have you back here with us with a follow and subscription to this channel. You will be notified of our monthly new episodes covering an exciting insight of the everyday insurance business. And while we're at it, forward the channel to a friend of yours that you think would benefit from the information we provide. Until next time, and take care.
Insurance Uncovered. A Talanx podcast.